Let's read that psalm now, the last of the psalms, Psalm 150. We're going to read two passages this morning, one of which is this psalm in connection with the first point of the sermon, and the second passage in connection with the second point of the sermon this morning. The first is Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts, praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet, praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance, praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals, praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And now let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we will read the second half of this chapter, verses 15 to the end. Note especially verse 20 when we read that. 2 Corinthians 1:15 to the end. And in this confidence I was minded to come unto you before, that ye might have a second benefit, and to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness, or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yet yea and nay, but in Him was yea. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now He which establish us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. It's on the basis of those two passages and in accordance with all of God's Word that we turn to the Heidelberg Catechism this morning, the last two questions and answers. Lord's Day 52, last week we considered just question and answer 127, and now this morning we look at the concluding two questions and answers. Question 128 asks, "How dost thou conclude thy prayer?" And the answer is this, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." That is, all these we ask of thee because thou, being our King and Almighty, art willing and able to give us all good. And all this we pray for, that thereby not we, but thy holy name may be glorified forever. Question 129 asks, "What doth the word Amen signify?" Amen signifies, "It shall truly and certainly be. For my prayer is more assuredly heard of God than I feel in my heart that I desire these things of Him." Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the way that you end is just as important as the way you begin. A couple of months ago, when we began our treatment of the Lord's Prayer, we showed the importance of beginning the right way. How you begin something is very important for the entirety of the thing that you are doing. And that's the case with our prayers as well. We must start them the right way. And we learned from our Lord Jesus Christ that we do start them the correct way when we begin, "Our Father, which art in heaven." We learn about who our God is as our Father. And that gives us the confidence to go forth and ask of Him all of the things that we must ask of Him in prayer. It's necessary that we begin the right way. And now, this morning, we see that it is just as necessary and just as important that we conclude the right way. We start the right way with our Father. We learned everything we must ask of God in prayer in the six petitions that we have studied thus far. And now we see this morning that it's imperative that we conclude our prayers in the right way. We conclude them as we are taught to conclude them from Scripture. Let's see that from the Heidelberg Catechism this morning. Concluding our prayers properly. Concluding our prayers properly. And just two things this morning. Concluding in the first place with praise, and concluding in the second place with confidence. Concluding our prayers properly with praise and with confidence. When we pray at the end of our prayers, "For thine is the kingdom and power and glory," we are praying what is the doxology of the prayer. A doxology, when it comes to music, is simply a song of praise to the triune God. And now, with respect to prayer, the doxology of the prayer is an expression of praise to God. And it's fitting that this is the way that we conclude our prayers. It's fitting that this is the way because it brings us right back to what is the very purpose of prayer in the first place. Prayer, first and foremost, is not for you and for me. Prayer, first and foremost, is not what we may get out of it, but the fundamental reason for prayer, why we pray especially, is that we might bring honor and glory to God, that we might, in our prayers, with thankfulness in our hearts, praise God for who He is and for what He has done for us. And so, when we conclude our prayers with this doxology of praise to God, we are, as it were, coming full circle and concluding with what is the very purpose of prayer. And this is something that we desire to do. It may be the case sometime that God comes to us in His Word and says, "This is what you must do." And even though it may not be something that we want to do, nevertheless, we do it because God told us to do it and God's Word told us to do it. That may be the case here. God comes to us this morning and says, "Conclude your prayers properly. Conclude them with praise." And we may simply listen because this is what we must do. But I imagine that that is hardly the case. It's not the case. And the reason I make that point is simply to make this point. This is the desire of our hearts, to conclude our prayers this way, with a doxology of praise to God. This is the desire of our hearts, especially in light of what we have prayed for already. think back on the six petitions of the Lord's Prayer, everything that we have studied in the past month and a half or so, six beautiful petitions. Six petitions that teach us about who we are, but more importantly, teach us about who God is and about what God will do for us. You pray those six petitions, and at the end of that sixth petition, the only thing that you want to do is conclude the prayer the way we are taught to conclude the prayer. The only thing you want to do is express your praise to God. This is the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer, and we have opportunity to now this morning, to look back and see why that is the case. To look back on those six petitions that we have learned about and see how that leads us to this proper conclusion. We prayed in the first place that God's name would be hallowed. That is, we prayed that we might rightly know God for who He is. And then in rightly knowing God, we may direct our lives in such a way that in everything we do, we bring honor and glory to our God in heaven. And we offer that petition, confident that God's name will be hallowed. In the second place, we prayed that God's kingdom would come. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Yes, indeed. Confused there for a moment. 2 and 3. We prayed in the second place that God's kingdom would come. And this too, a marvelous petition of the Lord's Prayer. God's kingdom. His rule over absolutely everything. And we prayed in that petition that we would experience God's kingdom until the day that it is finally realized when we join our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in heaven. A marvelous petition that God's kingdom would come. Next, in the third place, we prayed that God's will would be done, a desire that we would conform the whole of our lives to the will of God, His will for us as it's laid out in God's Word. But also this, that everything, the smallest detail of your life takes place only according to the will of God. Marvelous comfort in that petition of the Lord's Prayer. And then in the fourth petition, turning from God specifically to our own needs, we prayed in the fourth place that God would give us our daily bread. A petition that says, God, Thou art the one that is the overflowing fountain of all good, and that Thou wilt provide us with all of the things necessary for our physical life here on this earth. We were taught not to trust in ourselves, but to trust completely in God for our physical needs. And then in the fifth place, turning from our physical needs to our spiritual needs, we prayed for the forgiveness of our sins and remember the word that we heard that morning. The word that taught us the greatness of each and every one of our sins. And the greatness of that sin showing that it deserves death. And then the all the more greater work of God in covering those sins and forgiving us on the basis of Jesus Christ. Our greatest need in all the world, our sin, is covered and forgiven by Christ. And then last, as we saw last week, we prayed that God would give us strength in the face of temptation. That God would work in us the desire to say no to that threefold enemy of the world and the devil and our sinful nature. That we would fight sin until the day when God does deliver us from the evil one and the evil world, and bring us into glory with Him. All of that, beloved. The entire Lord's Prayer in 5 or 6 minutes. And we see how when we get to the end of the prayer, all we want to do is conclude this way. We conclude with a doxology of praise to God. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory and all of that forever. And this is also how we conclude the Heidelberg Catechism. I understand that obviously these words are not added to the Lord's Prayer in light of the Heidelberg Catechism. But I think it's a point that's worth making this morning. We conclude the Heidelberg Catechism this morning. And at the conclusion of the Catechism comes this teaching, this doxology of praise to God. And that's fitting as well. Remember, we're in the third section, and there are two main things laid out for us in the third section of the Catechism. The law as our way to express our gratitude, and prayer. Well, it's fitting that the way that it was organized was not prayer first and then the law, but the law and then prayer, so that here we conclude the Heidelberg Catechism with this doxology of praise to God. Because we can do the same thing this morning with the Catechism as we just did with the Lord's Prayer. You'll look back and you see what we have learned. What's the Catechism all about? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of comfort, that we belong to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Beautiful comfort that next week, Sunday morning, we'll have opportunity to look at in depth. And then everything we need to know to experience that comfort. You get to the end of the Catechism, just as you get to the end of prayer, and all you want to do is express your praise and thanks to God. It's a similar thing with the Psalms. That's why we read Psalm 150 this morning, the conclusion to the Psalms. And in the Psalms, really, we have everything that we have in the Heidelberg Catechism. You could, in a very real way, only read from the Psalms when it comes to finding material for the Heidelberg Catechism. It teaches us the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you get to the end of the Psalms. And how do the Psalms conclude? Verse 1, praise ye the Lord. And then the last verse of the last Psalm, verse 6. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. A fitting conclusion to not only the Catechism, but the Lord's Prayer especially. This is what we want to do. A doxology of praise to God. But now we need to see this morning why these words are in fact a doxology of praise to God. Because that's how the Catechism explains it in the second half of the answer to question 128. And all this we pray for, that thereby not we, but Thy holy name be glorified forever. These words ascribe praise to God. And they do that especially because of the form in which we find them. It speaks of God's kingdom, God's power, and God's glory. What we are not saying at the end of the prayer is asking that God's kingdom would come, or that God's kingdom would be displayed, or that something would take place in God's kingdom. We are not asking that God would show His power and that His power might be experienced in our lives, and we're not praying that God would be glorified. It's not a desire for something that we are saying at the end of the prayer. Instead, what we are doing is exclaiming what is fact. This is truth. Not that something would take place, but this is the case. And what is the case is this: God is the kingdom, or God's is the kingdom, and God's is the power, and God's is the glory forever. All of that is true. And we ascribe praise to God in exclaiming that such is the case. But now let's look at the words that are used. God's is the kingdom in the first place. We don't have to go into depth about the kingdom. We did that already in a previous petition of the Lord's Prayer. God's kingdom is His rule over absolutely everything. His dominion over all things. And especially His rule of love and grace over us, His church. And it's the kingdom that one day will be realized eternally in the new heavens and the new earth. We speak of other kingdoms. And there are other kingdoms. But they have nothing apart from God giving them strength to operate. The kingdom of Antichrist, the kingdom of darkness. They are nothing in the end. God's is the kingdom. We praise God as the one who is the God of His kingdom. God's is the power as well, and there's a relationship here. It's in the kingdom of God that God displays His power. God has power over absolutely everything, so that nothing and no one can so much as move or take a breath apart from the power of God in ordaining that to take place. We praise God because God is the all-powerful one. And that's the Catechism. The King and Almighty is what the Catechism speaks of. And then God's is the glory as well, and that's the culmination. And the relationship is this: through the kingdom in which God's power is displayed, God is glorified. And that's the culmination in everything. God is glorified. And what makes it all the more beautiful, and what makes it all the more worthy of praise, is that all of this is forever. The kingdom is forever. His power is forever. And His glory is forever. We praise God when we exclaim to God that His is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We conclude our prayers properly with this praise to God, especially in light of everything we prayed for up to that point. That's what we saw so far. But now we see also this morning that we conclude our prayers properly when we conclude them with confidence. We conclude them with confidence, knowing that God hears our prayers and that God will do for us what is for our good. We conclude with confidence exactly because of the words of this doxology. The fact that God's is the kingdom and the power and the glory and all of that forever is exactly what gives us confidence when we take a leave of God in prayer. And we need that confidence in our prayers. We absolutely need that confidence. Think about the second half of the Lord's Prayer. We talk about our daily bread and we can wonder sometimes, will God truly day by day take care of my physical needs here on this earth? We can wonder, will it take place? We get to the fifth petition. We look at our sin. We look at our own life. We see our sins. We see our besetting sins. We see our grievous sins that are heinous in the sight of God. And we can wonder, will God truly forgive my sins? We get to the sixth petition. And we see the greatness of the enemy that we looked at last week. We see the weakness of our flesh and we wonder, will God give me the strength to fight sin and to live a sanctified life? And will God truly deliver me from these powerful enemies? We look at all of that, and at the end we can be confident that such is the case. And we can be confident exactly because of the words of this doxology. And this is the four. For thine is the kingdom. Because this is the ground. This is the reason we can be confident. Exactly because God's is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Think about that. God's is the kingdom. There are other kingdoms. We said that a moment ago. Kingdom of darkness. Kingdom of Satan, the coming kingdom of Antichrist. Kingdoms that have real authority. Kingdoms that seek to destroy us. But when we say the words of this doxology, God's is the kingdom, what we are saying is that those other kingdoms will be destroyed and God will accomplish His purposes. God's is the power. It may feel like the devil in the world has power in your life. But just remember, Job, the devil couldn't do anything apart from the real power, that is, God's power, that allows them to do their thing for a time to serve His great purposes. Nothing can so much as move apart from the power of God. And what that means is that God has the power to do everything that we ask of Him in prayer. And God's is the glory as well. And as we said earlier, this is the culmination and the climax. And because God's is the glory, everything that takes place will serve the purpose of glorifying His name, which gives us the confidence that everything that takes place in our lives is for our good. And we need to see that from the Catechism, because that's what it says in explaining the confidence of our prayer. The Catechism says at the beginning, that is, all these we ask of Thee, because Thou, being our King and Almighty, art willing and able to give us all good. He gives us that which is good. And this is the confidence of our prayer. Because understand that what is for our good is always connected with the glory of God. The great purpose of all things is God's glory. And God will accomplish that. We can be confident that God will do everything to His glory. And what that means for our lives is that God will do for us what is good in His sight to serve that purpose of bringing glory to His name. Because the reality is that we don't always pray according to God's will. So that what we desire of Him does not always take place. But yet we are confident in prayer. And our confidence is exactly this. God will give us what is for our good to serve the purpose of bringing glory to His name. And beloved, He will do that because we are members of the kingdom of God. He will do that because we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will do that because Jesus Christ is our Savior. And Jesus Christ laid down His life for you and for me. And the great purpose of God is to exalt and magnify and do what is good for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. It would be a dishonoring of the Lord Jesus Christ if God did not do what the Catechism says and give us that which is for our good to bring glory to His name. And that's our confidence as well. God loves us. Remember the beginning. That's why we prayed this morning, emphasizing the fatherhood of God. God loves us. He cares for us. He loves us in Jesus Christ. And therefore we can be confident because of who He is as God, that He will give us what is good in His sight to bring glory to His name. That's the confidence of our prayer with respect to the doxology of the prayer. That's the confidence of our prayer with respect to us being those who belong to Jesus Christ. But we can have confidence in our prayers as well in light of the last word that we say when we go to God in prayer, the word Amen. Now, I imagine that every sermon that's preached on question and answer 129 will make the point that I am about to make. And every sermon says this because it's such a real danger for us, and we always need to be reminded of this. And what is a danger for us and what we must be reminded of is simply the fact that the word Amen does not simply mean that our prayers are done. Are you listening, children? When your dad at the dinner table says, Amen, that does not just mean, okay, now I can get up from the table and I can go do what I want to do. There is more to that word, Amen. And I'm not sure how we guard against that danger. Obviously, every year and a half, 2 years, we have opportunity to hear it from the pulpit specifically, the significance of the word Amen. And I guess the only other way is always to be teaching ourselves, reminding ourselves when we pray what this means and teaching our children the same. And so we do that this morning and we see the significance of that word Amen. The word that adds to the confidence of our prayer. Amen, as the Catechism says, means it shall truly and certainly be. We pray to God, and at the end we say, it shall truly and certainly be. That takes boldness. You pray to God, and at the end you say, it will truly and certainly be. That takes boldness to do that. It takes boldness of faith to say the word Amen at the end of our prayers. It takes the boldness of faith because what we are doing is saying that everything that we prayed for is according to the will of God. And that in part is why we study in depth the Lord's Prayer, so that we know what to pray for and how to pray. So that at the end of the prayer we can say, Amen, confident that we pray according to the will of God. Because understand that when you pray according to God's will, God will accomplish what He says He will do. That's why we read 2 Corinthians chapter 1. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. What God promises to do, and that which God promises to do is what is according to His will. He will certainly accomplish. So that at the end of our prayers, we can say, Amen. It will truly and certainly be. But we can't say that because of ourselves. Because we were the ones who said everything perfectly in our prayers and asked just the right things. Because you, as well as I, know that the most beautiful and the most fervent prayer that I have ever offered to God in my life is still a sinful prayer. We never pray perfectly. We can't pray perfectly. But yet we say, Amen. And we say that because something takes place when we pray to God. When we pray to God, first of all, we have the confidence that God hears that prayer. And that's the Catechism, emphasizing the fact that God hears the prayer. Sometimes we may say it feels like prayers that we offer to God don't make it past the ceiling. I speak, I pray, but He doesn't hear them. They don't even get outside the room that I'm praying in. Beloved, God hears our prayers. He always does when they are prayed by faith. Because on their way to God in heaven, our prayers go through someone. They go through our intercessor, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died for you. Jesus arose for you. Jesus ascended into heaven for you, so that right now in heaven, He is your intercessor. And what that means is that the prayers you offer go through the Lord Jesus Christ, and He takes that prayer and He covers all of the sins associated with that prayer, and He perfects it and He brings it to His Father in heaven, so that we can say with confidence, because of the work of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, Amen. It will truly and certainly be. Because of Christ, God hears and God will answer our prayers. God will do everything for our good. He will do everything to bring glory to His name. Beloved, that is the confidence that we have in the prayers we offer to God. With that, we conclude another round of Heidelberg Catechism preaching. And with that, we conclude our treatment of the Lord's Prayer. If you go back 2.5 months or so, at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, we had a sermon with the theme, Lord, teach us to pray. And now as we end, with thankfulness to God, we can say, Thanks, Lord, for teaching us to pray. For teaching us through the means of the Heidelberg Catechism. And now it will be a while before we get back to the subject of prayer. And so may we take these things with us. Let's read these Lord's days regularly in our lives, so that day by day we continue to be a praying people. Day by day, we teach our children to pray. And we teach them to pray in the right way, asking God what we ought to ask of Him, so that at the end of our prayers, we can conclude the way we are taught to conclude, with praise to God and with confidence in our prayers. Because God's is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.